I'd like to find out how many of you are or have memorized scripture a la Navigators. I don't mean when you were in Sunday school or Awanas, but I mean how many of you are memorizing scripture or have memorized scripture? Okay, not all that many. How many of you don't know what it's all about? Okay. Now, some of the rest of you volunteer where you are. You know a little bit about it. You see, everybody's going to have to vote before you're over. So, how many of you know 25 verses? Hold up your hand. Okay. How many know less than 25 verses? Hold up your hand. Guys, there's some guy now. Hold up your hand now. I'm serious. Hold up your hands, you know. That's good. This guy was emceeing this Pentecostal meeting, and it was a noon meeting, and he said, "Hey, by the way, all of you fellas that's going to stay for lunch," he says, "put your hands down." Okay. How many of you have never heard of what we call the beginning with Christ? You've never heard of that. Hold it. Hold up your hand. Okay. All right. Okay. If I had the computer here, I'd put you in and bring out a certain program. But I think I can do that all right. You are here, obviously, because you're interested in memorizing Scripture, and I'm going to take for granted that you want to get started today. Now, is that a good supposition? Okay. Hold up your hands now when I ask this question. Is anyone here that don't want to get started today, if you're not started? If you're not started, of course, you aren't started. But anyone here that don't want to get started today? Okay. Then all of you want to get started today, or you're already on the way, right?
Yes.
Okay. Man, that's 100%. Pastor, he'd give his right arm if he could have a congregation like that. See? Okay. Well, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that tell us that we should memorize Scripture. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Christ is living out his life through us, the saving life of Christ. Since we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have been what we call in Christian terminology, born again. You were born the first time, and you had a body and a spirit. My first little baby, our first little baby, was born, and he didn't have a spirit. He died just a few hours before he was born. You call that stillborn. The second baby and the third baby, they were born with a body and then with a spirit. Then later on in their young life, they accepted Christ into their life and they were born again. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He was in this earth, on this earth, and he had a body like you and me, and he had blood, and then he died. He was crucified on a cross, and he gave up his life, and he shed his blood. That's the expression meaning he died, because you have to have blood to live. And he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And when he rose again, He had a body, and he appeared to the disciples, and they were quite shook up, you know, because he appeared to them. You know, if a dead person rises, you know, that's news. You know, it's, we can't handle that all that much. I read a little clip the other day. These guys are, all three of them died, and they went to heaven, and the angel, whoever it was, interest, asked them, said, what would be the last thing? What would be, you're there in the court, what would you want? What would you want people to say over you? And the first fellow said, well, I want to say I was a good man, and I was a good family man, and treated my family right. And the second fellow said, well, I'd like for him to say, you know, this was a patriotic man. He served his country, and he really gave his life for his country. And the third guy said, I'd like for him to look in there and say, hey, he's moving. And then Jesus went away to heaven, and he told the disciples, he said, I got to go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. But when the Comforter comes, he'll reveal unto you all truth. And he shall live with you, and he shall be in you. He shall be in you. And the Spirit that he sent at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus. So, by him going away, made it possible for you and I to make a commitment, all the people and all the earth, any of them. See, God being infinite, see, I learned a few big words, I'll use them here. Infinite meanings, this just goes on and on and on. God being infinite, see, can indwell every human being with his Spirit that will receive him. And we use the expression, born again. All right. Well, now this Spirit that's in us now needs to be fed. And it feeds on the same thing that the Spirit fed on when Jesus was here. And Jesus said such statements, I do always those things that please him. That was when he lived here. Everything that he did pleased the Father. Well, you and I now have his Spirit living in us, and so he has laid on our hearts to do always those things that please him. Well, always those things that please him are recorded in a book. It's the most marvelous thing in the world that Jesus thought of, that God thought of, to make people able to read a language from paper and parchment and stuff and understand it. And people like the Wycliffe translators, they have missionaries, and they spend their whole lives translating this Bible into all the languages of the whole world, so that the Word of God can be revealed to them. And this Holy Spirit feeds on this Word of God. And we walk with this wonderful person, Jesus, each day as we walk with him practically with the Word of God. And this is the reason why we want to memorize bits and pieces of the Word, so that it feeds our soul as we walk along. Deuteronomy 6:6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That was back over in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 11:18-19, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now you can teach them your children from the copy, like around the table, when you around the table, and have a copy. But when you get out to go to the field and go to the plow or go to the tractor or go to the lawnmower or whatever you do with your little children or the soccer game or the car, see, then the book, it's not practical to read when you're driving, you know. A few fellows have tried that, and I discourage that, really. But you can have the scripture laid upon the table of your heart, and you can share. You can share the scriptures, you see, by having it laid upon your heart. Therefore, shall you lay up these words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that there may be a frontlet between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children. When thou sittest in thine house, where thou goest by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Memorizing scripture. Proverbs 6, 20 and 23. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word dwell in you richly. Doss Trotman used to say, present thought determines present action. What you're thinking about now, your objection, see, I'm thinking about picking up that book, so I pick up the book. That's what I think about, see? Your present thought determines your actions. And so we want to think about the Word. John 8:32, it's the Word that makes us free, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises. Now here, the promises are in the Bible, you see. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We partake of the divine nature by meditating, absorbing the precious promises. That's a good verse. See? That's good to know. You want to be more spiritual? Then you partake of the precious promises if you want to be more spiritual. And that's 2 Peter 1:4. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings this to mind. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send in my name. Psalm 119:9-11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. See? Psalm 119:155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. That's another word for Bible, or word statutes. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Isn't that a great one? 155. Psalm 119:155. Joshua 1:8, this is the first one I ever memorized after John 3:16. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When? When the book of the law is written upon the table of your heart and you meditate on it, you see? Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Proverbs 2:4-5, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for hid treasure. You probably read stories about people looking for gold or silver in the early days of the West, even losing their lives looking for gold, having that thirst, having that desire, having that hunger. I was saved in 1940, watching my mother pass away. And thank you, might want to open several, really. About a year later, I found myself in Uncle Sam's yacht club, and I was out at Pearl Harbor, and I met a fellow aboard ship, and he could quote scripture. First layman I ever met in my life that could quote scripture. I thought only Bible teachers and preachers and stuff could quote scripture. And this guy knew his, and I asked him, was he going to be a preacher? And he said, no. I said, you ever been to Bible school? He said, no. Have you ever been to seminary, theological college? And he said, no. You going to be a missionary when you get out of the Navy? He said, no, perhaps not really. You know? Boy, I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle that, Bill. And he was just a sailor, just ordinary everyday sailor, whitehead sailor, see? But he could get around the Word. Oh, he could handle the Word. And he had a fantastic witness aboard ship. Well, that intrigued me. And I thought, man, that's what I want. I want to be able to quote Scripture so I can get around the Word and share my testimony as well. So out at Pearl Harbor, I went out there in the nav home, and they got me started memorizing Scripture. First they said, well, Crawford, we don't work with just everybody, you know. I said, man, I'm not just everybody. And they said, well, we only work for guys who mean business. I said, well, I caught full buses to get out here, you know. I had to change and get off and change, you know. You know. Finally, they gave me a box of verses. 150 verses in a little box. They said, memorize a verse a day and review all you know every day. Well, I wasn't too well versed in mathematics in those days, and you know, I thought, no problem really. So I clipped along, I started memorizing a verse a day, and I got along okay for 75 days. The reason I know that the numbers were on the back and I could keep up, you know. And I reviewed them every day. And then I was stationed to go in the seagoing tugboat, and so we left Pearl and went down south. And it rough to ride, so my memory took a beating. But as well as me, I struggled along, and a couple of years later, my ship pulled in Long Beach, and then the guys got me started on a systematic memorizing scripture. Now, if you want to memorize scripture, you got to have a system. Now, there may be some systems around, but I'll show you one. This little booklet is called Beginning with Christ, and I think we got a few in the bookstore, but if you don't, you can get them, you see. And one of the best ways to start memorizing scripture is to have someone memorize with you, a buddy. If you don't have one of these, get it and read it and study it. You have to go and memorize the scripture with tenacity. That's another word I picked up. I thought I'd use tenaciousness. You have to go after it. You see, I used to hunt when I was a kid, hunt coon, possum, rabbit, anything really. And we had some coon dogs, possum dogs, and there's big old hounds, you know, and they make a noise like it'd scare you to death. But they're harmless as kittens, really. They really are. The children can play with them. They're good pets. They wouldn't, you know, pull the ears and what have you, see. But they have a tremendous nose. They can join. Well, occasionally, instead of the coon going up a tree, they'd get him in a tight and get him in a briar thicket. Well, he'd try to manage to get his back against something, like a stump or a root or something, and get up on his hind legs like that, see? And if any of those old dogs got close, he'd swing at them with those claws and just rip those ears, and the bud would fly, you know, and the old dog would howl, and, you know. But the dog wouldn't, they just weren't made to get in and bite him, you know. But real coon hunters, they take a little bulldog that's mostly all mouth and wide jaw, see. But they keep him on a leash, because his nose is no good at all, you know. So when the old hounds get this coon bayed, see, then they reach down and unsnap that bulldog and say, kill, and that bulldog goes right for his throat. He doesn't turn loose. And the coon's hind feet will come up and rip him right through the belly. Doesn't make any difference. That coon's going to die right there in the mouth of that bulldog, see? A kill dog. You call it a kill dog, you see? And, of course, that saves your other old hounds from getting all so bloody, you see? That's what you call tenaciousness. If you're going to be successful, this is not Sunday school. This is not Awanas. I got babies in Awanas, you know, grandbabies, you see? You have to have that some of you have it, some of you don't. Reason I know, I've been working with men a long time. See? If you don't, it's up to you. No problem. I'm just telling you where you're going to be. You see? So you get started and you make this priority. You'll never memorize Scripture unless you make memorizing Scripture priority. I don't care who you are, boys. I don't care who you are. You've got to make it priority. It's work. It's not something that you just do, well, when I get around to it, see? So get someone to help you. And you start with the verse. There's four little verses right here on this little card, you see. And those of you who are well along and you're memorizing Scripture, you know this, but I'm reviewing you. You might as well tell people right away, it's not easy. It takes work. You have to put it priority. It's not easy. John 16:24. You look at the verse, and your eyes glue to the verse. Like an old-fashioned camera. You've probably seen pictures in the movies of old-fashioned cameras. You know, a guy would take a camera, and, you know, with a deal over his head and such like this, antiquated, you see. Well, the old-fashioned camera wasn't fast like our cameras. You had to be real still for a long time or it would blur on you, you see. Well, make believe that your eyes are old-fashioned cameras, that you got a glue on there, and look at it. Get it on your mind. John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24. That's NIV. I memorized this in the King James Version. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. See, you work on it just like that until you can quote it. Then you ask someone to help you. I remember when I first started, I was the only Christian aboard ship. And I was on this topical memory course, and it had 108 verses, but you could check out on 36 at a time. And so I wanted to go ashore and check out on my verses. So this fella, non-Christian chap, made of mine, and I asked him, he was laying up in his rack, and I said, "Hey, Curtis, I'm going ashore to Bible study, and I need to check out on these verses when I go ashore, and would you check me?" Well, I gave him my verses, and I quoted them. Of course, he didn't correct me at all. I'm sure I made some mistakes, you know. A couple of days later, I was talking to another shipmate, and he said, "Crawford," he says, I was talking to Curtis, and Curtis told me that you could quote the whole Bible. Thirty-six verses. Okay, now I want to stop for questions, and then I will go further. Okay, input or question? I showed you how to get started, and a little bit of a challenge on why you should get started. Yes, sir.
When you're reviewing your verses, all the verses you've learned, do you continually learn new verses during that time, or do you have a time strictly set aside for reviewing?
You set yourself a pace. I grab these on the way out. See? These are verses that I have learned over the years. Okay? See? When you first start, you memorize according to a system. You'll go a little further and I'll get back to your question. This is beginning with Christ. This is a lead to a memory course called Topical Memory Course. Cost about $12-$15. You can get that at the bookstore. And it has instructions on how to finish the course. There's some very valuable helps. It used to have 108. How many does it have now? 60? 60 verses now. Bunch of weaklings, huh? Well, then you finish that course. And by the time you finish the course, you have learned a system. Then you begin to choose your own verses. Choose your verses out of what you read, a sermon, Bible study. Be selective on your verses. Don't choose all the verses on one subject right away. I've made all the mistakes, you know. Don't get sidetracked on memorizing chapters or long portions. Now, I'll stand flat-footed and argue with anybody now. Just don't do it. Because you cannot retain chapters of the Bible. You say, I know a guy who can quote Romans. Okay, fine, great. How many guys can quote Romans? Well, just one guy. Well, that's not enough to send out a bunch of troops witnessing. Just one guy can quote Romans. That doesn't help much. You know, that's kind of like the captain leading out there with all the machine guns and the other guy having a picnic back here. No, that's the way you do it. It's an army. That's the way you do it. You memorize individual verses. And if it's a passage, of course, two or three verses, fine. But don't memorize chapters. You cannot retain them. And you have a Bible. You can always read it. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to memorize chapters. The purpose of memorizing Scripture... do you know the purpose of memorizing Scripture?
There seems to be many, but...
All you got to do is give me one.
Just to give you victory in your walk.
Give you victory in your walk, right. Very good. And boy, that ought to be high priority, right? It should be for me. Yeah, in order to give me victory in your walk, what must you do to this verse?
Hide it on your heart.
Yeah, and then when you hide it on your heart, then you can what?
Review it.
Review it. You can call it to mind. Beautiful. Go to the head of the class. You're already the head of class, but that's okay. Yeah, see? But if you had a chapter, you'd have to quote the whole chapter, and you'd get lost, and by this time you'd run over something, you see? You know? See? But you can pull out a verse. So the purpose of memorizing Scripture, one purpose, is to give you victory in your life. So the topical memory course will get you started. Then you begin to choose your verses. Then after a while, you'll have a few verses in several books of the Bible. Then, by this time, you're 2, 3, 4 years into the piece. You see? By the way, the topic of this was memorizing Scripture for a lifetime or something like that, wasn't it? Yeah. And then you organize your verses according to books and review them by books. You can have a copy. There's you can have one of these if you're far enough along. Suppose you've been memorizing for 10 years and you say, how many have been memorizing 10 years? I was bogged down. Verses. Well, I sat down one day and thought through a system on how to organize my memory work. So I wrote it down. You can have it. No cost. So now then, I review Scripture by books. Your question was, David, do you continue to memorize new verses? You're going to find yourself memorizing new verses all your life. However, after about 18, 20 years, you're going to be memorizing some of the verses that you memorized 20 years ago. So I still memorize new verses, but I don't have many new cards. Okay, other questions?
So throughout the day, how do you systematically review your old verses, like 5 or 10 at a time? Or 3?
Yes, yes, very good. In Mr. Humphrey's workshop this morning, he mentions that he's moving. He's now 10 or 15 minutes from work, 20 minutes from work, and he's going to be 30 or 40 minutes from work. But he says, I really don't mind that at all. Because he says, I can use that time. And he drives to work. See, he can use that time. He reviews his Scripture. He does other things, you know, at that time. Bits and pieces of time. It's amazing how much time I spent now in the doctor's office waiting for my appointment, you see. More than I'd like and more than I used to. But I use this to review my Scripture and have a little time with the Lord. See, I keep a pack with me all the time. Okay? Other questions? Someone in the back. What do you see?
How many verses can one guy memorize in a lifetime?
You mean, it's like how much money have you made in a lifetime, but you spent a lot of it. You know, if you've made a lot of money in your lifetime, but you don't have it. You mean that you've memorized or that you have?
How many do you have memorized right now?
But again, how many can I quote?
Yeah.
Quite a few. That's an intriguing question, but please forgive me, and I mean this in the best of taste. That isn't very important. You know, it really isn't very important. How can I use the verses that I have? You see, that's what I should have. But I haven't counted them lately, but I'm stuck between 1,500 and 2,000 maybe. You know, somewhere's in there, you know. Yeah.
So, the way that you break down the verses you memorized is by book. So you have like Psalms, Romans.
After you get a couple of 300, then you, which would be, let's say, see if you, I started off three a week, but those were different times and different people and different mindsets. You may not want to do that. You might want to go 2 weeks. Three a week for 15, 20 years, you know? And so, three or four, you know, then you do it by books, okay?
So topical, it's, you know, for beginners like most of us.
I do topical, yes.
Topical, and then we get a bunch.
Yeah,
the
by book. I find that profitable. Mm-hmm.
For each verse you memorize, do you tend to put a one or two word summary or theme on top of it? Or?
I did that for a long time. Now then I put a one or two words to get me started. You know? To prompt me. It's a cripple, what you call a cripple. Yes.
What do you find the advantage of going by books as opposed to topical?
In order to systematically get it done.
And review it?
Sir?
That helps in reviewing it.
Yes, yes. In order to systematically get it done. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I have my topics in my notebook. You know? Yes, sir.
No, I picked it up off you a long time ago. But I review the same way. You can't beat it. I mean, it's the easiest way to keep it organized.
Mm-hmm.
John, when you're helping a guy and he's going through the topical memory system, do you have a set of cards that you have too, or do you just let him do
it? I let him. I let him. I thought Clay and I go to the Bible study together, and before a Bible study, my Bible study, we pair off and review Scripture. When I meet man-to-man with a guy, we review Scripture. Every activity that I have, we review Scripture. You see? I put memorizing Scripture pretty high. So Clay and I will, come up here, Clay. Now, I reviewed these because I ahead of time, so I hope I can. And then Clay will review me. We're sitting in the living room coming over. And then I'll review Clay. This is Isaiah 118. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 118. Isaiah 119. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 119. Isaiah 2, 11, 10 and 11?
11.
11 and 12. Isaiah 2, 11 and 12. The lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah 5, 20-21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Isaiah 8, 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there's no light in them. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, 6. Isaiah 11, 3. What's your key word? And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. By the way, that's a good one, isn't it? And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after hearing of his ears. You can't always go by what you see or what you hear. You have to go deeper than that. Isn't that beautiful? And as a cross-reference in Proverbs, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a shame and a folly unto him. See, as I'm reviewing along, see, that triggers something in my mind, and I stop, and when I'm by myself, stop and meditate on that and try to call up that other verse, you know. Isaiah 11:9. Key words.
They shall not
hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Isaiah 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 28:9-10. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. Boy, that's a good one. Judgment also will I lay to the line. I'm a bricklayer, and this was built by amateurs. I don't want to spoil the rest of your conference, but you notice that there's some joints here that are small and some large and some small that are large. See? Well, the foreman should have had a leadman over there laying up that lead and laying up straight, and a lead over here, and then he'd pull a tight nylon cord, see, and the rest of the ordinary bricklayers would lay it to the line.
15b 30 15.
In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Isn't that a good one? Mm-hmm. Lovely. 30 and 18. Keyword is
wait.
Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait.
That's a different one.
Different verse. Okay. Therefore shall the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. We'll quit. Can I check you on a verse?
You're not going to let me out.
Tricks. Tricks. Mark 8:36.
What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Mark 8:36.
Mark 10:45.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Luke 6:26.
Woe to you when all men speak well of you, because that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. 6:26.
That's right, isn't it? They compliment those false prophets, flatter them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, boy, I should be in pretty good shape. Warn to you when all men speak well of you.
Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23.
Luke 12:15.
Luke 12:15. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.
Thank you. Isn't it what? You see that young man, he's sharp mind, see? I have to struggle. So take advantage of it while you're young, guys. Boy, Take advantage of it while you're young. Let me beg you. Let me cry. Let me plead with you. Hit it when you're young. Hit it when you're young, baby. Hit it when you're young. You'll be glad you did. You really will. You'll look back and thank me.
What about goals?
Goals? Yes, I have goals. When I first started, my goal was 3 a week and check out every week, you see. My next immediate goal is, please forgive me on this one, I'm going back through all my verses and I'm culling out and laying aside because I got too many. I got too many to maintain. I can't maintain them. So I might as well face it. I hope I'm not getting senile, but I'm just not as sharp as I used to be. And so I'm just going to get the verses that I can be sharp on. Because if I put too much time in Isaiah, then my psalm verses would go lacking. If I put too much time in my psalms, then my Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians verses would go lacking. See? So I've got to. That's my goal.
How many times a day do you get to review?
Oh, once or twice. Once or twice. Under all cases, then I. But if I have opportunities more than that, yes.
What is having committed yourself to, you know, really memorizing? What is the biggest benefit that you've received that we could look forward to?
Several. One is victory. See, victory over sin. I was thinking of this verse, Job 31:1. I've made a covenant with my mind. I've made a covenant with my mind. Why then should I look upon a maid? You see? No. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? In other words, I've decided there's a situation going on out here, and they're dressed in a way that I really shouldn't look that way, because I saw them way down the street. See, so I'm just not going to look that way. Okay? Okay, so I walk on down. I got victory. I never looked. Okay? Job said, okay, I had victory over my eyes. Now, what about my mind? I got to have victory over my mind as well. See? So as I meditate on that verse, you know, it gives me some help, you know. The verses on money. Wealth gotten by vanity shall diminish, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. All forms of gambling, God Almighty said, I'll see to it that you can't use it.
And
like I say, those Bible verses are something, aren't they? Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. I can't call those. It's Proverbs. Hank, can you give me that reference?
11,
yep. 11:15? I can't call it. See, I hadn't reviewed my Proverb verses in recently enough to call it to mind.
That's not the right chapter.
But you see how cutting they are? It guides my life. You know?
13:11.
Thank you.
John?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned earlier about how you shared just an opportunity to have a non-Christian look at the verses that you were working on.
Yeah.
When I first memorized the TMS, I was on the USS Roosevelt. I memorized the TMS in less than 90 days because I worked at it every day.
Yeah.
One of the things, I was on an aircraft carrier, you're always standing in line working on something.
Yes.
So I had a great opportunity to review more than several times a day, and that's what really helped me to do that.
Yeah.
But it was also a great opportunity to witness to guys who was standing in line with me.
Yeah.
You know, we all were going the same direction, but we didn't have a thing to do.
Yeah.
And so I pull out my pack, and like you did, you
know, very good.
The verse said, please.
Very good.
And it started conversations. Maybe I didn't even get to share the gospel then, but later on I'd see that guy somewhere on the ship, and we could strike up a conversation again later.
Right.
And we're still, you know, even today,
you
always stand in line somewhere.
Yeah.
You don't have to be on an aircraft carrier to do that, but...
Right.
It's a great opportunity.
And it gives you the ensuring the gospel and answers to the Bible. It gives you access memorizing scripture. Okay. Here's a little article I wrote, and it's got some how memory helps, and it winds up with in case you memorize a lot of scripture. You can pass those down and just divide them up and pass them around.
You want some help with those? You want me to pass those down?
You know, this is a backup in case there's not enough of those. It's a little different article, but basically the same material. Any other questions, gentlemen?
John, what about the different versions? What have you found on that?
Okay, thank you, Hank. That's tremendous. If you memorize the verse in one version, do not change versions on that verse. You're wasting your time memorizing another verse. See? Now, if you're going to give a talk on a certain verse, you might memorize it in two or three different versions if you want to give a sermon or a talk or something like that. But just for ordinary work, don't change versions. Choose any version that you want, but always stick to that version. Choose a version, put it on a card, and stick to that version. Now, by the way, the value of cards. See, I got a lot of little packets here, and I got them verses, so I can just pick it up. You know, my cards make them accessible, and either have this kind of card or a business card. You can have 3 by 5 cards, but you get too big. You got a pocket full, and. You know, with my billfold and notebook and what have you, I need a purse to carry my stuff. So put the verses on cards. And please don't worry about and don't argue about little things. Just go ahead and do it. Am I communicating? I met so many guys, well, I don't like cards. Just go ahead and do it if you want to be successful. If you have that bulldog, you know, if you're going for the kill.
What's the turnover on bulldogs?
We'll lose one once in a while. Yes, sir.
Are all your handwritten or you typed them out or
yes. Yes. Both. Yes. Everybody get a copy of the other?
I don't think so.
Yeah, those who didn't, would you give them a copy of this? Okay, any other questions? We're going to wind it up because we've got to get over there before the greedy ones do.
What are some of the pitfalls that you see guys stop doing it or hang ups?
Get out of the habit of checking out with somebody. You see? These little elementary things will keep you going all of your life. You've got to have somebody helping you. I don't care how old you are or how long you've been doing something, and not only memorizing scripture, but you really have to keep reviewing. You really have to keep studying. We, usually when a guy finishes college, we use the expression, well, he's educated. But that's a misnomer. There's no such thing as past tense, educated. If he's got to a certain place and he's not growing, he's going backwards. I'm being educated, present continuous tense. And this is the attitude that we want to have all of our life, you see. I realize that I wasn't going any further with my college, university, so I got on a study program in 1960, and I decided that a good pace for me would read one book every 2 months. They'd give me 6 books a year. Well, I'm on target. I've been at that since 1960, except these last 2 years I've picked it up a bit, you see, because I want to feed my mind, and I read all kinds of books about all kinds of things, you see, because I want to be, you know, as well as, you know, just everlastingly at it, everlastingly growing, growing, growing. Okay? Any other questions?
Alan?
Yes?
So you completely divide all your verses up in according to books. You don't have any topics that you use?
Not anymore, I don't. I do in my notebook. I have topics and sermons and what have you in my notebook, but not on my verse. I started off with topics, but after I got 200-300 verses, 400-500 verses, then I put them into books.
Where did you get your box?
This. There's a fellow in prison down here that made them. But he quit making them. I think he got out. Bill Schrock. Bill Schrock. A wheat farmer in up and on the border, beautiful goose country, has brought us some folders. If you would like a folder, you're welcome for a folder. It's for the price of admission, and I'll leave them right here. And if you want a folder, if you're not going to memorize scripture, if you're not going to hit it, just enjoy the time and go ahead. Don't kid yourself. By the way, if you can learn not to kid yourself and tease yourself, but treat yourself in raw reality, you'll be happier. You know, just live your life like you're going to live your life, and rather than live your life like you hope you live your life, just go ahead and live your life, really. But if you really mean business, then get some help and get the topical memory, get the beginning with Christ, and get to them. If I had the money or had the beginning with Christ, I would not give all of you a beginning with Christ today, because many of you would throw it in your basket. If you want to get started, you'll get started. If you want the topical memory course, you can pay $12. If you don't want to pay $12, then don't pay $12. If you don't want to get started, don't get started, you know. Do what you want to do. But if you really mean business, it'll be absolutely money well spent. I know. Is that too hard? One of the guys was telling a mate of mine here at the conference, says, you know, Crawford's kind of blunt. and old Jerry back there said, you must have the wrong man. But that's the way it is. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good time together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.